What's up, everybody? This is Jamilia, and you're listening to Barely Legal and Web3. On this podcast, we talk about everything at the intersection between legal compliance and Web3 innovation. I launched this podcast to spark a discussion around what it takes to be a legal professional in the emerging space of Web3. When I first started ByteBow, there were really no resources for lawyers looking to venture into this space. And so part of the motivation of this podcast is to document the building of ByteBow, but also to uncover and to talk about what's really happening in the space from a legal perspective. If you're an attorney and you're looking to get into Web3 or looking to connect with other attorneys who are already in the space, check out ByteBow.io. We have a new community feature, and I'd love to have you join. See you in there. So for today's podcast, I wanted to talk to a specific population of listeners, and it may seem kind of exclusionary, especially since this podcast is very new, but I really felt it heavy on my heart to talk to women directly, whether you are women lawyers or women entrepreneurs, about some of the things that I've been noticing in the space lately. And you know, I'm very blessed to have this podcast and this platform and a wonderful audience who, you know, you guys engage with me week to week, and I get to have tidbits of information about things that are on your minds. So it's important for me to take that information and to address it and to do it in a way where we all walk away with a bit more perspective, because I think from my vantage point, I can see a lot of what's going on in the space of Web3. And for women, it is a very unique experience. And I've seen women who have been professionals for 15 years or more, and also women who are more junior professionals. I've seen them feel very unsure of themselves and having a lack of confidence in Web3. And it really is for no other reason but this horrible imposter syndrome that you hear people talk about so often. And for those of you that don't know, imposter syndrome is essentially a fallacy. It's not true, but it is a belief that you are not good enough to be in the space that you're in. It's a thought that you're either unqualified, or you're not experienced enough, or you don't know as much as others do to be in a certain space. And it shows up in a lot of underrepresented groups in particular spaces. And it's very interesting for me as I think about it, as I'm speaking. You know, number one, I'm a woman. Number two, I'm African American. Number three, I'm in the legal field. And then number four, I'm in this tech space. And so I think for me, I've kind of developed this, I don't know if it's an ability or a bit of hardened nature, to kind of not let it bother me so much when I'm in spaces where I'm the only one. And as a matter of fact, I actually feel great when I'm in those spaces where I'm the only one, because there needs to be someone like me in those spaces. And, you know, it's funny when I think about the women who I've spoken with over the past few months about this imposter syndrome, they don't directly come out and say, oh, I don't think I'm good enough, or I don't think I have the skills to do it. It just comes out in a bit of hesitancy. And I'm not saying I don't have it. I do have it at times. For me, it shows up in different ways. Certainly, you probably think, oh, you've got a podcast, you don't care, you talk about whatever. It's not so easy. But for sure, for women, it's very interesting to me how it's such a prevalent thing across the community of women professionals, whether it's women lawyers or women in Web3 generally, and how untrue this belief is that women may have that they're not good enough. So I thought I'd share a very personal story with you guys on this episode. And for those of you that know me, I'm not the type of person to tell all my business, but I'm gonna tell my business on this episode because I really don't care. I've gotten to the point in life where I'm just like, hey, whatever, it is what it is. And so you're getting a bit of realness today. So, you know, it's funny when I tell people I've been practicing law for about 15 years, they look at me and they're like, what are you talking about? You don't look that old. Okay, thank you. But no, I am that old, whatever that is. And it's funny to me also when I tell people that I have four children, because I do, I have four children. And I don't look like someone that has been practicing law for 15 years and has four children. Thank you. I'm going to say that today, and hopefully 5 years from now, that still is true. But it's funny when I think about my experience in law school. So for those of you that don't know, I talked about in a previous episode a little bit, but I'm from Connecticut, small town Connecticut. My family was one of three black families in the entire town growing up in the mid 80s and 90s. It was an experience for me that I think kind of shaped my ability to be present in spaces where I'm the only one and to really just not care and to really just come and be like, yeah, I'm here. I'm here. What do you, what? Because you can't go through something like that in life and then come out and still feel shy because the difficult part has already happened. You've already been called out of your name. You've already felt weird in certain circles and felt like you're the only one so many times that by the time you get to be a professional or, you know, by the time you get to have, you know, 10 or 15 years under your belt of practicing law, none of it matters anymore. You've already been through the difficult part. And it's funny because when I was in law school, I had recently gotten married. And I ended up having two of my children while I was going to law school. Yes, if you could even imagine that. So one of the things that I recall very distinctly is, number one, there were not many black law students at University of Connecticut at the time I was going in the early 2000s. There were not many of us, number one. Number two, there were a few of us were women, but number three, to be pregnant and to be in law school, it was just the rarest thing. Like, I mean, I don't know how it is today. Maybe today people are coming in there and they're in their second and third trimesters and nobody bats an eye. But for me at the time, it was very much of a thing or an issue, at least in my mind it was. But I had so much determination to finish. And, you know, it was part of this, you know, obviously a personal journey that I was going through, building a family, having a new marriage and everything. And that is a journey in and of itself. But to do all that while in law school was completely insane. And I think during that time, I developed so many skills and so much grit and determination in things that really nothing could stop me at all. I recall going to sit for the New York bar and needing to pump milk for that period of time. You know, obviously the New York bar is ours. I believe I took it in the summer, at least from what I imagine. It was hot. It was uncomfortable. I was engorged. It was just a bad situation. But I was going to take that bar, and I passed it. And I passed it on my first time. And I passed the Connecticut bar on my first time. And I say that to say that women, as a population, we go through so much stuff that is just, it's just challenging, difficult. But because it's not mainstream, we don't account for it as, you know, a success. Or we don't really give ourselves credit of going through something. And I know that there are so many women that I have connected with over the past year that have been through challenges similar to that or much, much more, much more. But because it's not that typical professional challenge, like, oh, I was promoted to global head and I managed a team of 120, then it's swept under the rug. But I assure you that if there was any male law school student that was going through what I was going through during law school and also while taking the bar, I'm not sure they would have been able to finish, to be honest with you. I mean, I've seen my husband when he's sick, when he just has a stuffy nose and he's like, you know, he's acting like the whole world is coming down on him. So my point is that we have to give ourselves credit for going through challenges that are unique to our story. And you have to understand that those challenges that you went through make you who you are today. And for any woman who is listening to this podcast or who is in this space and feels like They are not smart enough to understand what a swap is or DeFi or really understand altcoins and just whatever it is, the economics of or tokenomics or whatever it is. You are smart enough and you are good enough. And you know what? You're probably smarter than your male counterparts. And I'm just going to say that too, because look, this is the Keeping It Real episode. I've been in meetings before with, you know, male counsel or, you know, just counterparts on the other side or even colleagues in a workplace setting who are either more senior than I am or just more experienced or advanced. And when it gets down to problem solving, when it gets down to creating solutions for things, they just don't have it. It's like maybe they've been coddled or they haven't been through these tough experiences, so they've softened in a way. And I really think that women, we need to just give ourselves a bit more credit. So that's what I'm going to say to you guys today. I really hope it was helpful. And it's a short episode for sure, but I had it on my heart and mind that someone needed to hear that. And someone needed to feel like, no, I can do this and I should do this because it's right for me. Whether it's, you know, learning more about Web3 or starting that practice or consulting firm or starting that business, now is the time to do it. And now is the time to be bold. Because as you've seen during COVID, nothing is promised to us. So, you know, sitting around waiting for promotions, maybe that won't happen. You need to invest in yourself and you need to build your skill set up so that you're prepared for the next 5 or 10 years, not looking backwards. And I think, you know, at the end of this, I don't want any listener to walk away and say, oh, that's just, you know, man bashing. It's not the intention, but the intention is to recognize that women go through unique challenges and these challenges are often not seen. And a lot of times women don't speak about these challenges because we don't want to be seen as weak. We don't want to be seen as vulnerable. But I think it's time to really give yourself credit for, first of all, going through what you're going through. And then secondly, to also say, hey, you know, yeah, I went through it, but it helped me. It helped me in a way. And think about the lesson that you've learned from it. There are, you know, instances of people who are not women who go through a lot of things that are challenging and difficult, and they come out on the other end and they're like, wow, you know, that was a lesson for me, and I'm going to use that lesson and use that experience to build a business or coach others or do whatever it is. And that boldness or that confidence is also something that men statistically just have more of, that confidence to say, yeah, I learned and now I'm going to use it towards my advantage. And I think women would benefit so much more if we use those lessons, those difficult lessons, as a way to kind of boost ourselves and to pivot forward into the next thing. So what does this mean for you as someone who may be in Web3 or maybe looking to get into Web3? You know what? I've spoken to, so there's so many different classes of lawyers, even all the way at a partner in a law firm. I spoke to one woman who she's going to be up for partner next year. And she mentioned, well, you know, I'm thinking about starting this practice. We don't have the lawyers for it. You know, a lot of the time you need to build out a business plan for something like that. And then once again, that entrepreneurial mindset has to kick in and that confidence and the boldness to put your hand up and say, I'm going to create this. I'm the one to do it. No one else is more qualified for me and I'm going to do it. So it doesn't matter if you are a partner in a firm or if you are someone who has just opened up their own law firm or legal consulting firm. It doesn't matter where you are in the journey. The question is, do you have the grit and the mindset to be able to say, I can do this? And I want to end on a note to encourage you that yes, you can do it. And I'm going to be documenting what I've been doing. I've started to do a little bit on TikTok, and I'm also going to be talking about it a bit more here. We'll have guests in, and I want to share, you know, from the guest side, to the extent that they're entrepreneurs, what are the things that they've done to kind of boost themselves along in Web3? But I think a lot of it, to be honest with you, it's just realizing that you need the confidence to do something. So that's my final word. I really hope it was helpful. I'd love to hear from you guys. You can find me on Twitter at Jamelia Greer. You can find me on Instagram at Jamelia Greer, whatever. I'm all over the place. I'm sure you guys will find me. And then, of course, be sure to check out BiteBow. We have a new community feature. As I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, I'd love to see some of you join. Signing up is totally free. We've just started to build the community in that space and to pull some people over from other communities into that space. So I'd love to see you there. That's it. Stay safe in those crypto streets. I'm out of here.